Hello and welcome to the DLTV podcast. My name's Andrew Williamson.
And I'm Mel Cashin. This episode is part of a series that focuses on what's going on with digital learning and teaching across Victoria and the world. We've got some exciting podcasts planned for the rest of the year, and we're going to be catching up with lots of DLTV members and talk about what's happening in their schools. So we'll talk to presenters and chat about all things digital learning. So tonight we've got Clark Burt.
Yes, thanks Clark. For having me.
Thanks for coming, Clark. Clark is a special education teacher and former lecturer and tutor at the University of Melbourne and RMIT. He is currently on study leave from Ashwood School and is running intervention studies at schools around Victoria. He is also a committee member of the Australian Association of Special Education, AASE, Victorian chapter, and has worked with the Department of Education developing the digital technologies curriculum for levels A and D.
A through D.
A through to D, yes. Oh, thank you.
Well, it's great to have you here, Clark, because you are really, it's great to have an expert in that special education area and something that I know a lot of our members want to know a lot about. So it's great to have you on tonight.
Yes.
Just wondering, as as a special education educator, what role do you think digital technology has?
I am really impressed by the new digital technologies curriculum. I've been, you know, as many of us are, really interested in ICT from sort of a young age when it was first getting started in the late 90s. And I was in school learning to become a teacher sort of around that, you know, the 2000s, when there was all this talk about this new 21st century thinking skills and this new economy and what do we want our, you know, future students to be able to need to do and, you know, what do schools need to be able to provide. So I really like, you know, the past curriculums here in Australia, they've attempted to sort of try to bring in those skills and that kind of thinking that, you know we need. But this new digital technologies curriculum, you know, I personally feel is sort of the real start to completely rethinking, you know, what our future, you know, the needs of these students are in the future, in the workplace, and that, you know, this curriculum actually says, no, this is the thinking and these are the skills we need to teach for when these students get out into an automated and technical and innovative and creative and, you know, coding sort of workplace. So I'm very excited about this new digital technologies curriculum, but I must admit, I'm actually at the same time actually worried about it as well. And here's why. My expertise is in special education, particularly students with cognitive learning disabilities or intellectual disabilities. And there is a genuine concern about how this group of students are going to be able to fit in this new economy, in this new 21st century thinking skills. Because, of course, these skills, you know, are not intuitive by any means, and it takes a lot of cognitive processing to really think about, you know, this new innovation, creation, you know, systems thinking, information systems, protocols, all that. And, you know, my worry is that, you know, we already have a gap, you know, between, you know, the neurotypical child and, you know, a child as they with difficulties or disabilities as they go through school. And, you know, we need to close this gap, or we need to do our best to try and close this gap. And I think that this new curriculum, while yes, it's certainly great for, you know, for foundation through 10 levels, I think it is wonderful and, you know, great that we have it, because for the group who are pre-foundational, for the early, you know, learners, that we really need a nice, clear curriculum to get them started in learning these skills, you know, right away as soon as possible.
Clark, you've done a lot of work with the A through to D levels in the Victorian curriculum. Can you talk about what the A through to D levels are, and what does digital technologies curriculum look like at levels A through to D?
Yeah, so what has happened is after years of these pre-foundational levels sort of being there and sort of being developed, now with this new Victorian curriculum, we are very proud, you know, again, because I am a member of Australian Association of Special Education, Victorian chapter, that we are very proud that the Victorian curriculum is not just, you know, F through 10, et cetera, anymore. It's now A through D, comma, F through 10. It's actually a linear curriculum. And so for students who are pre-foundational level, they may be at a level A, B, C, or D. And so I'll sort of explain, you know, as brief as I can, exactly sort of what each means. A level A student, and this is a big sort of field, you know, so there's, you know, it's a big range of abilities at level A. But level A is easily described as pre-intentional level. So these students are behaving pre-intentionally. Maybe they can make a choice between yes or no or red or blue, but it's all about what they want. And there's generally very limited vocabulary if they're able to speak or move at all. And so when they do, it is very much intrinsically motivated and not for sort of anything else than what they feel they want to do. When you get to now level B, these students are actually these students classified as level B are actually quite a bit better at understanding cause and effect, that if they do something, then it'll have this effect, that they're actually able to make a few more choices, that they're able to actually understand putting objects together and matching and manipulating objects, manipulating, for example, you know, math activities. And then when we get to, level three, that's where we're actually we actually get to the first sort of signs of independence of these kids, that they're actually sort of making their own choices by intentionally thinking about the choices, and they're actually able to start participating with others, and that they're actually able, and this is very important for the digital technologies curriculum, they're actually able to start sequencing ideas. And in just a little bit, I'll explain why that is actually quite a very important thing that educators should think about with the digital technologies curriculum. But lastly, the level D group, this cohort, which is again pre-foundational but just below foundational, is that, you know, they are much more able to express their own feelings and recount their experiences. They have a much higher ability to cooperate in a group and reflect on their own behavior and do a lot more digital technologies activities like collecting and sorting and representing things and a bit more abstract thinking. What is really important to understand, and I could talk about this forever, so I'll try and be as quick as possible, is that students with lower cognitive abilities who are academically delayed, they have a harder time thinking abstractly. If you go to the research, you know, the neurotypically developing child will be able to start thinking abstractly, you know, a bit at around age 9, 10, and 11. And then by age 12 and 13, they can really think in complete, you know, in much greater abstract terms. And when I say abstract, I mean like the concept of time, you know, and that whole, what it all means is, you know, something that, you know, a teenager can really, you know, get his or her head around. But a 13-year-old who has a intellectual disability would definitely struggle at that. And so when we look at the digital technologies curriculum, we need to remember that a lot of the digital technologies curriculum is about these abstract ideas. And we need to then consider, well, if we're going to teach these kids, we need to teach them very concrete ideas. And in sort of an example I'll quickly give you is sequencing. That was what I was talking about with level C. And, you know, as a teacher, you think, oh, how can I do sequencing for students with special needs? And it's actually probably something you're already doing. You just don't realize it. And the thing to really remember is that this digital technologies curriculum, especially in the lower years, is maybe only 50% ICT and computer-based, if that. And so when we want to teach sequencing, which is a digital technologies, you know, is part of digital technologies, the sequencing could be, how do you make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Or what's your routine for getting up in the morning? And those are actually sequencing. You know, we think about it as, oh, we're learning life skills and we're teaching life skills. But actually, these things that we do for special needs kids can actually be incorporated into this digital technologies field and into the curriculum, which is why, I'm so excited that we have this really clear curriculum for levels A through D, because we're actually able to link what we're already doing now into into a linear curriculum where we can see how to then, what's the next step? What's the next level? What is the next thing to do once the student actually matches and actually is able to complete the task?
Which is interesting, because that really does bring in that whole idea of assessment between those A to D levels as well. And I know you work a lot with ABLES, which is the support sort of resources and assessment tool that's used for to assess students with disabilities and their readiness to learn. See if I can get the acronym right, the Abilities-Based Learning and Education Support. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. ABLES started off as ABLES has, and I'm certainly not the expert in ABLES. Carrie Woods and Emily White at the University of Melbourne, for example, among many other wonderful people there, you know, they're really the ones to talk to about ABLES. But ABLES has grown into a set of online questions. It's basically where a teacher sits down and answers a series of questions that then, at the end of it, suggests which level that child might be in. And so as a teacher, and I know my students, I've known them for a month or two, I will then answer these questions about what I've seen them do, what I've seen them able to do independently. For example, in the area of literacy, what I've seen them be able to read or what words they know, or if they're able to work, you know, in a pair situation, or write their name or listen to instructions. And then I answer these questions, and then the ABLES assessment actually suggests, okay, this child is possibly in level C, in the test, so in the literacy test, and then it would give you the suggestions and, you know, the recommendations for, you know, how to teach the student at this level. And so the ABLES test, and this is the wonderful work that, you know, like I said, you know, Carrie Woods and Emily have been doing, is the ABLES test has really expanded over the last few years to include, literacy, speaking and listening, literacy, you know, reading and writing, mathematics. And now a new one, which I think is going to be really important, is one called digital literacy. And I was very fortunate enough to sort of help them a bit with this, building this new digital literacy assessment, which is, it's sort of coming out this year. I don't know if it's still in, it's still sort of maybe in a bit of a trial mode, but this digital literacy assessment, and this will be relevant for students, for teachers who have students who are pre-foundational, this digital literacy assessment is an assessment, and it's not necessarily related to digital technologies, but it's an assessment to how comfortable and confident the student is in using technologies for academic purposes. And, you know, starts off with the basic, can they turn it on? Can they, you know, choose an app on the iPad? Can they, you know, log into a computer? And so this digital literacy assessment will really be great for teachers teaching the digital technologies curriculum, because they'll sort of be able to get that starting point. They'll be able to say, okay, I think this child is at a level B, and so I know that this is their other capabilities. I know cognitively that they don't necessarily work well with others yet. And I know that they are doing things intentional, but they don't like too much choice. And so then knowing that, you can say, okay, well, this is then how I'm going to adapt the curriculum, the digital technologies curriculum for level B for that student.
Wow, it's really interesting just hearing you talk. I guess a lot of the things that I think when I'm thinking of special education and digital technology is about the tools that would support learning. But I love the way that you're really bringing it back around to think about the learning of children with special needs. So it's a new lens, I guess, that not all of us think through. So I think it's really important.
You don't give me credit, please. It's, I'm not doing this wonderful work. I'm just explaining it. But that goes back to what I was saying at the very beginning about, this need in this 21st century, these 21st century skills that we say that, that all students need for when they go into the workforce, that, now the future jobs are all going to be different and they're all about, automating and coding and they're all about creativity and innovation. The digital literacies, ABLES assessments and the new A through D digital technologies curriculum are the way to, well, then how do we make sure that, the lower ability students, the pre-foundational students don't get left behind, because they have every right as well as every need to also learn the same curriculum. They, of course, just need it modified to their cognitive level.
Yeah, absolutely. So games and kinesthetic activities for learning is sort of like it's quite an important part of learning for everybody, for all students.
Yes.
And muscle memory is a sort of, I suppose, really underutilized as far as, well, for me, coming from a music background and learning an instrument, muscle memory was an important factor as part of my learning. I was wondering if you could sort of outline how the digital technologies curriculum can link in with, the notion of games and kinesthetic activities for children with special needs.
Absolutely. I think what I'll first is I'll talk about the kinesthetic activities and just give some examples that teachers can use sort of right in their classroom. Again, probably ones they're already doing. And then later I'll talk about games because that's part of my PhD and quite a passion of mine. But first, when I mean the kinesthetic activities is, and I think we as all teachers know this, that students, they don't want to sit at their desks anymore. They want to be moving. They want to be doing things. That's the whole makerspace movement. And again, not only is this true, but it fits with students with special needs who I say cannot think abstractly and they need concrete things. So when we're teaching, students addition and place value, we give them concrete tokens. We give them lollies, we give them drawings, we make them do physical things and physical manipulation, because worksheets just don't work. They don't work for this cohort, because this cohort, those things are quite abstract. To give you an example, when I first started teaching vocabulary, I would write a word on the board and write a definition and the kids would write it down and, we talk about it and I think that was pretty good. But, sort of in my learning, I realized, well, that's still quite abstract, a word on a board, and it doesn't matter how many times you say it, it's still an abstract concept for a child. But let's say, for example, and I'm trying to teach the word ruin, and I'm trying to teach the verb ruin, to ruin something. I actually showed them, the new way is I showed them videos of ruining a party or, popping a balloon and ruining the balloon. And then I gave them pieces of paper and I said, ruin the paper. And these kids, they ripped it up. One kid tried to eat it, one, crumpled it up. One just, drew all over it, but they were actually tangibly engaging with the word ruin. Whereas if it was on a worksheet and they're copying down the definition or writing it into a sentence, that's still abstract. And so it's these sort of working with and physically manipulating and working with these words, these math problems, or these solutions, like, when we're going to sequence how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, actually have some bread and some peanut butter and, have them actually go through the steps. And that's a bit of that muscle memory of actually doing it, when you're doing the counting. We're learning, when we learn counting, we use our fingers. Well, that is muscle memory. And so, and I think this is a lot of stuff that teachers, in primary schools and schools with special needs students parents already do anyway. But what I'm sort of reinforcing is that now we have, you know, a digital technologies curriculum where we can actually link that. You know, I'm doing this, and now, you know, I was right because I have research that says, no, we need these kinesthetic activities. And this sequencing is part of a bigger line of digital technologies thinking, and that all these things, you know, aren't just, you know, one-off activities, but they all fit into a larger curriculum. Now, to switch gears to my PhD, currently, I am investigating using ICT and games to teach vocabulary to students with special needs, to students with intellectual disabilities. And so, again, I am sort of running interventions in schools this year in Victoria, where I am giving students 4 words a week for 6 weeks, and we're doing a lot of different activities to sort of work with those words and to understand the meanings. And yes, I am writing them on the board and writing definitions on the board, and we're talking about them. But then, for example, they'll have pieces of paper, and I'll say, you know, when the word, you know, comes into your head, draw what picture shows up, draw what comes into your head when you hear the word. Or I'll have them, I bought some memory game boards, then I have my special cards I put in there so that they're actually playing a game with the vocabulary words. Or we're actually, you know, using what the research says for vocabulary teaching, where they're doing mind maps and they're doing semantic analysis and thinking about, okay, I have the word, you know, thread. Can I touch it? You know, can I feel it? You know, does it move? You know, thinking about those sort of relationships with other words, you know, really getting into this rich vocabulary thinking. This is sort of what I'm investigating. And I'm investigating it both sort of in the traditional methods, which is paper-based and game, you know, board games and, you know, classroom activities versus ICT-based activities versus, you know, I have actually a website where students log in and do very similar activities, also interacting with these vocabulary words, you know, watching videos about them, watching little animated GIFs about them, answering questions, doing little online games. And so far, just sort of in my trial, sort of so far, and I will talk about this much, much more in, and I'll give a little plug here for my DigiCon presentation I'll be giving on Friday, July 29th, where I'll be talking much more. But what I am finding so far is this ICT group, the students who I have doing the experimental testing on the computers, they are not, and I'll try to explain this as best I can right now, they are not approaching the computer tasks or the ICT tasks sort of in the same mental mindset that they do when they're, you know, the students are approaching the worksheet tasks. Because and again, I'm still figuring this out, but sort of my thinking so far is that when you have a worksheet in front of the kid and the teacher is leading the lesson and the writing on the board and walking around and worksheet, activity, you know, the students are familiar with it, they're comfortable with it, and they know what to do and they know what's expected of them and they know the teacher's role, you know, mostly as a leader. In an ICT sort of led environment where suddenly the teacher is a mediator, and the teacher is a coach and a support person, and then looking at a computer where these kids are used to it for looking up, you know, fun YouTube videos or playing games, they aren't in the academic, you know, they don't have their learning ready in their brain. They don't have the academic mindset. And instead, so they're actually not really, it seems like they're just not engaging with the ICT the same way they're engaging with it with a traditional academic worksheet. And this has quite big implications for ICT teaching in the future, in that how do we get kids, especially those with special needs, to accept, you know, and again, the older kids are more accepting of ICT for, you know, academic learning. But these younger kids and kids with, you know, delayed cognitive abilities of looking at iPads and looking at videos and, you know, all these little online activities as a tool for learning, they aren't quite looking at it like that yet. And I'm not sure what the answer is yet, but maybe I'll have it by that DigiCon conference. So please come to that. and then lastly, the last thing I'll say before we go is Teachers out there, if you do teach English, well, actually, you know, everybody teaches vocabulary. Vocabulary is in everybody's lesson. That's sort of why I chose it for my PhD. If you have 3 minutes and would, you know, I would love for you to take, it's an online anonymous teacher survey. It's the website is www.selage.org, which is SELAGE.org. And there'll be a link, just to click for teachers to just fill out. It's just a handful of questions about, you know, how they teach vocabulary in their classrooms. And that would very much help with my PhD research. So thank you for doing that.
Well, and we'll certainly put that in the show notes as well, so you'll be able to get that on the DLTV website in the show notes. Well, thanks, Clark. That was really interesting to sort of get your perspective, and especially having a background in special education, it's great to hear some of the exciting things that are happening in that area. And you did do the plug for us with the conference. So we're looking forward to seeing you at the conference in July. So the DigiCon conference is the 27th and 28th of July at ACU, Australian Catholic University. And we're sort of starting to get to the countdown now. It's only a bit over a month away. So we're very excited, and along with your presentation and many more that will be there, we look forward to seeing everybody there.
Yes, I have to say, it looks like it's a fantastic lineup of speakers too, Clark, that you are speaking alongside of at the DigiCon session. It looks a pretty amazing schedule.
Yes, no, I'm excited, particularly because I'm sort of more on the primary side. And I know this year, you must have read all my feedback from last year, because the amount of speakers appropriate for, P through 6 is just wonderful. So I cannot wait.
Fantastic. Well, Clark, thanks so much for coming along. It's been a fascinating interview, and it's given me a lot of food for thought, especially with those children with additional needs in my classroom. So thanks again for coming along.
Oh, no, thank you for having me.
And thanks for listening, everybody. Please make sure that you share this podcast with your networks using the DLTV podcast hashtag. And we look forward to speaking with you soon, Mel.
Yes. Thanks for listening.
Bye.